it's a technology and a tool, but in the end, you know, it's up to us and what, who we are and what God is saying to us and through us to our congregations. We are always going to have to make the final decision.
Welcome to the AI for Churches podcast. Our goal is to empower church leaders just like you to harness the power of artificial intelligence for sermon prep, outreach, worship, and so much more. We do this by providing you with exclusive insights from AI experts, church leaders, and innovators from around the globe who are actively leveraging AI to amplify the gospel and reach people for Christ. I'm your host, Cassandra Robinson, and the AI for Churches podcast starts now. All right, everyone, welcome to AI for Churches. We are here to talk all things AI for churches. And this particular episode, we are talking about transforming sermon preparation and saving time with David Thorne. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi.
Great. Well, we'd love to start off with having you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, your background, your experience as it's related to AI, and a little bit about your passion there.
Yeah, so I was a pastor for about 10 years. And so during that time, I did a lot of preaching. And after I stopped doing that, I began working for missional marketing. And as we begin talking about AI, one of my biggest interests in that area is just how can we help pastors save time on the thing that they spend probably most of their time, a big portion of their time in, which is preaching and preparing sermons. So I've been very excited to figure out how can we help pastors and how can AI specifically help pastors with that.
That's awesome. And how did you mentioned you, that was kind of your interest or the sort of precipice and you getting interested into streamlining the sermon preparation using AI. What was your background before then?
I've been a part of church planting and been a part of a few different churches, done a lot of research into those areas as well. And so that's kind of how I got into that. At Missional Marketing, I help lead our research and development team. And so that's where as a company, we've really want to put a lot of resources and backing into helping solve this problem. You know, how can we help the pastors across the country save time? And if they can save time doing one thing, that gives them more time to do the things that really matter, investing time in their people versus sitting down and just spending all of their time working on researching and writing their sermons.
I think that's really neat to leverage AI, which right now is, like you've mentioned before, is in its infancy or in a sort of a wild, wild west stage. And everyone has maybe like a different definition of what AI is versus automation. I'm curious to know what your definition of AI is, David.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's for the definition of artificial intelligence, it's one of those things that can, it's when the thing that does the thing can actually learn about how to do the thing better itself. And that's probably the thing where we've learned about, from some of our guys on our team who are even really smart, even about how all of this stuff works together. And that's the very, the average guy, like how would I explain it to myself? It's when a machine can learn about how to be better itself at whatever it's doing.
Perfect. I think that's a pretty layman term definition of what artificial intelligence is versus we talked with Jason about automation and the difference between, you know, automation and artificial intelligence, and which we're probably more familiar with automation, you know, for streamlining everyday tasks than we are for a machine to help us with those tasks. Mm-hmm. And for today's purposes and for our audience listening who's interested, who are those church leaders, that executive pastors, senior pastors, lead pastors who spend upwards of 20 hours potentially per week in preparing for their sermons, you know, how do you feel that AI will decrease that amount of time and put more time back into their pocket for the things that really do matter?
Yeah. I was asking a bunch of pastor friends that I know, what is the part of your sermon writing process that takes the most time? And it really comes down to, you know, coming up with the stories, coming up with the meat on the bone, coming up with, you know, finding the research. Of course, the writing part is its own challenge, but there's just so much, like whenever I would be preaching, you're looking for stories everywhere. You know, you're going to the grocery store buying milk, and you're like, is something interesting going to happen that I could possibly use in my sermon this coming week? Am I going to have some interaction when I'm checking out? Am I going to do something silly that will be funny that I can use in my sermon? It changes everything about how you do your week. And so that's the thing, is if AI can help a pastor with that brainstorming thinking phase where you could just start, I need some ideas of stories, of quotes, of books. What are all the things I can get on this topic? What if you could use AI and in 5 minutes you'd have it all? You have all, you have brainstorms of ideas, stories, topics, Bible verses, and it's there, done. Then you can almost move right into the writing portion because you have a ton of stories, you have a ton of quotes, you have all the books on the topics. You could have examples of movie scenes or stories that talk about that topic. And then you're off to the races just writing right away.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. You're like, I'm in, I'll buy two.
Exactly. And even just as you were sharing about the difference it makes in your week with normal interactions, right? Everyday things, going to the grocery store, checking out, and how you're looking for potential anecdotes to inject into your sermon to make it more engaging, relevant, relatable to your congregation and its members. Because that's the goal, right? The storytelling would really draw them in, and that the word of God would be relatable and relevant to their own lives. And there could be applications. They leave feeling not only inspired, but, you know, motivated. So I think about that in my, you know, as a like personal brand strategist and content creator, like, it has also changed the way I think of, you know, everyday life. Like, how can I share this with my audience? You know, that it relates to them and it inspires them to action. So the fact that this machine that's learned through being trained with all this information, it's an aggregate, is what I've kind of come to understand it in my own definition of AI, right? That like, aggregates all this information that's already out there. Like, so blogs, articles, all the things on the internet, it can take it and respond to your question or your prompt in seconds versus us doing the manual heavy lifting and research of reading all the books, reading all the articles and the different sources, which is still beneficial, right? We still fact check, and we'll get into that too in our conversation, but it aggregates and gives you, hey, a list of it versus you having to do the sort of the manual research yourself. And that's where the real cost or time saving aspect comes into play. And also cost, right? Because time is money, money is time. So you're also saving money as well there. So what are your thoughts, David, as far as what tools would be most beneficial for pastors? Because it is the Wild Wild West and there's so much out there, it's easy to get overwhelmed.
Yeah, that's one of my concerns for pastors is, so if a pastor says, okay, I hear about AI everywhere, the challenge is to say, where do I even start? And I feel like that's a really important thing to be aware of, because it can very easily go down one path or another, get overwhelmed and give up. And so the thing that I would say is the best place to start is understanding there's two main generative AI search engines that are free to use right now. And I think it's worth being aware of both of them. One is Bard, which is a product of Google. And the other is ChatGPT, which it's one of those things, it's hard to not hear about that exists right now. It's kind of everywhere, but ChatGPT is the other one. Those are both free. You can sign up for those and use them right now. Of the two, I would suggest starting with ChatGPT. It's worth noting that there's a free version, and yes, there is a paid version, but the free version, which is ChatGPT 3.5, is free to sign up for and use right now. So I would say, yes, right now it's a wild, wild west, and there are things developing faster than we can even come up with them. But starting with ChatGPT 3.5 is free. You can do it now, and it's a wonderful place to start.
And since we're talking about sermon writing today and how it can help streamline that process, what specific features do you feel like are most beneficial for sermon writing? And you touched on one already, right? The stories and anecdotes, developing those. Anything else?
It's worth noting, I say, when we talk about these topics, that these platforms are getting smarter by the day. So not even by the week, month, or months. We're talking about, you know, by the day, these things are just getting better. And so I would say that some ones that are really kind of fun and interesting to play with, you could ask ChatGPT or ask a platform to help you come up with a sermon outline for a topic. You could ask it to help you come up with potential sermon titles, or even come up with a list of sermon titles for a sermon series. So that's another thing. And those are just fun for like the outline of, you know, if I was going to present an outline on topic A, write me an outline for that topic. Write me an outline for a sermon on forgiveness. I'll come up with an outline just from that. Another thing that's really fun and helpful is I like asking it about quotes. Pastors are always, in their sermons, you're always looking for a quote that just kind of nails down or kind of supports what you're trying to say, and you can find quotes. It can also give you books on topics. So that's where, you know, instead of when I've preached before, I turn around to the bookshelf behind me and I'm like, what books have I read that talk about this topic? Well, instead of doing that, I can just ask, make a prompt to say, you know, give me Christian books or just books on this topic. Again, I could go on and on. Oh, one of my favorite ones right now is asking it for a Greek or Hebrew interlinear explanation of a verse or a portion of scripture. That's one of those things where sometimes you're thinking about, you're looking at a scripture and you're saying, you know, what is it? What does it really say? And with a one quick question, you can get an expanded interlinear explanation on that topic, which I will note is much more exciting for me to say out loud than it was for me to tell my family about this when I found it. They looked at me with blank stares and were like, we have no idea any of the words you just said. But for lead pastors who are listening to this, you'll know what I'm talking about. So it's pretty awesome.
On that note, David, can you give an example that was particularly exciting that you typed in and got, you know, some biblical revelation from, like, you know, something you input into ChatGPT and it gave you this explanation that was like the root of what it meant? I oftentimes find that so fascinating.
Yeah. Well, for example, I asked what the Greek word for forgiveness was. And then I said, where is that word found in the Bible? And then I said, give me an expanded interlinear Greek interlinear explanation of that verse. And then I said, give me the historical context of that verse. And then I said, are there any other Bible verses that talk about forgiveness? And you could just see, I'm just kind of brainstorming out loud.
Sure.
I'm just kind of rolling with the punches of, okay, if I'm going to preach about forgiveness, okay, here's a Greek word. What does that Greek word mean? Where else is that word found? What's the historical context of the verse where that was found? You just start going down this path and you're just learning as you're going. That's so much fun. And it's so informative and helpful. That's the kind of stuff that can save a pastor time versus going here and going there, and you Google, and you just, who knows what you're going to get, and you have it right in front of you, ready to go.
And because we're a faith-driven podcast, I'm curious, what do you remember it saying? What was the example or expansion on the word forgiveness?
That happens. That's one I use as an example, but I kind of already knew. I mean, the Greek word, I think, for forgiveness is aphesis. That's one of the words for forgiveness. And it's, I don't even remember what it specifically said. It, you know, it's one of those things, it's a topic I've like looked at before, but I was more interested in the fact that I was getting stuff and
sure,
how interesting it was than me actually remembering the different things.
What? I'd ask. It might have been a bit of a stretch, but it's neat that that, like you said, is so accessible. It's like at our fingertips versus how long would that have taken had you gone to multiple different sources and found that sort of rabbit trail versus the rabbit hole kind of being in all in one place. And you can keep asking it questions. After it's giving you one, it generates another one, and so on and so forth. And you can go back to your saved searches and see that.
I was going to mention that another thing that was a discovery that was really cool. I asked it, how many biblical commentaries does it have access to? And its response was, too many. And I said, well, give me a list. And it gave me a list. And I said, give me more. I said, give me more. Over had like 40 different biblical commentaries that it had access to. So then I said, okay, give me commentary on this verse from this commentary. That's experimental because I now need to go back to that commentary and confirm that what it wrote is what it says in that commentary. So before we go crazy about how awesome that is, which it is awesome, I do want to confirm. I need to spend a little time, more time with that one. But it's very, very awesome that it has, it's like, hey, I have access to too many commentaries to even tell you about. That's pretty awesome.
Wow. That is really awesome versus us being having to do that work ourselves and find those, which commentaries to choose from. I'm sure you can even whittle it down from there. Of the 40 commentaries, only use X commentaries, so forth. So it's like having, we said earlier, a personal pastor's personal assistant.
Yeah. My plan is I want to whittle it down to like the find the top five most used commentaries and then if I can consider how we can work within that context. But it's kind of exciting. If you want commentary from weird random person who wrote a commentary, ChatGPT probably has access to it.
We've talked about a lot of the benefits and the features of ChatGPT and its possibilities and opportunities to save time and generate interesting and engaging anecdotes and quotes for a pastor to create an engaging sermon. Now, what about some of the challenges and solutions to those challenges? What do you foresee or imagine happening when pastors are implementing AI for sermon prep?
Yeah, it's one of those things with right now, there is some imperfections and limitations. For example, there's if you've ever watched on YouTube, sometimes MIT will come out with the Boston Dynamics robots and they're doing something new, like opening doors. Every single time I see that, I want to make a Facebook post like, oh, good, we're one step closer to the robots taking over. And I immediately think of Terminator 2 and all the, you know, iRobot, all the movies I've seen that clearly tell us that the robots are going to take over. And so when we talk about a topic like artificial intelligence, every time there's an advancement, there's a similar thought that we as humans probably have of, oh, cool, that's really awesome. Oh, great. The robots are one step closer to taking over. And so with that, the individuals and groups that are developing AI are trying to be responsible in how do we implement AI in a safe way. And because of their attempt to do that, they're building in some limitations to what it can and can't do. So, for example, ChatGPT, as awesome as it is, basically knows all things on the internet as up to the year 2021. It is presently not connected to the actual internet. So it has a lot of knowledge. It can write about almost anything you can think of, but it is not connected to the internet. So that's obviously going to be a limitation for a pastor of if you want a story from the news yesterday, you will not be able to get that from ChatGPT. Bard has some similar limitations where you're going to be very, very limited in trying to get information from yesterday. So that's one thing to keep in mind, is that there are limitations, purposeful limitations, into what information you can get from AI at this moment. So I mentioned that. And that's good news, because what that tells us is that the powers that be are trying to be cautious and thoughtful about how to responsibly create a really smart AI. Creating the really smart AI is not necessarily the challenge. The challenge is creating it responsibly so that it is a responsible thing versus going haywire and deciding to do its own stuff.
That makes sense. I think it might have been you that mentioned that the creator of ChatGPT has gone before Congress and is actually, trying to develop some policies or laws or guidelines around how, it's being used and, other institutions like college, for example, like fearful that they're just all plagiarized essays and there's no actual original thought behind any of that content. So speaking of the Wild Wild West and its current infancy, that there's going to be that need, and it's already coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great point. There are some like pastors, one of their fears is, are we taking the Holy Spirit out of this? Can a pastor just write a sermon and it's done? And then is it his, or is it a mindless robot's sermon? I'll say this, that the time will come soon when a generative AI like ChatGPT will be able to write a full 30-minute sermon with a few purposeful prompts. And right now, there are college students that are answering questions and writing papers using ChatGPT. So on the school front, the powers that be are working as hard and as quickly as they can to find ways to find out if answers were written by an AI or by a human. And Congress is trying as inefficiently as they can, but attempting to figure out how do we protect people from things like generating, protect against plagiarism, that kind of stuff. They're working on that stuff too. But when it comes to things like sermon and sermon writing, that's one of those things where it's a technology and a tool, but in the end, it's up to us and who we are and what God is saying to us and through us to our congregations. We are always going to have to make the final decision. So if an AI writes a 30-minute sermon, will there be people who just preach that as is? Probably. But is that going to be the vast majority of people? Probably not. And at some point, the generative AI gets to know you, knows your stories, knows the books you've read, knows example stories that you have, and says, I'm putting together a sermon that is you based on all the things I know about you and how you like to preach. Here's your sermon. And in the end, it is what you would have come up with. And with a few tweaks, it is helping you as a tool to write the sermon you want to write to effectively share what God is telling you. And with a few tweaks, you're just there. You just save yourself 15 hours of your week.
You just hit on some really interesting points. One of them being the mention of the Holy Spirit, right? That ultimately the goal is to save pastors times so that they can go to the Holy Spirit, right? And actually seek God and his word to see, hey, is this something that the Lord is calling them to share or impressing upon them to share through the Holy Spirit? Or am I just going to allow the ChatGPT to write it and not have no contact with God and just be like, whatever, I'm just going to preach this because I'm short on time. But the hope is that, right, they would cut down the research time so that they do have more time to spend you know, personal time with God, you know, in his word, seeking first the kingdom and understanding, hey, is this God's will? Is this what he's sharing? Is this the up-to-date speaking? That's the hope, right? Versus that we just take ChatGPT as gospel and we don't, you know, fact check it and we don't, you know, go to God's word and we sort of become lazier, you know, human beings and then are just dependent on ChatGPT for all these things, right? Like that is a potential challenge, right? Because like oftentimes we are lazy. We do default to that. What's the easiest thing that we can do and just kind of get by, scrape by. But what ChatGPT doesn't have is intuition, is a conscience, which God has given us, right, to check in with him. And there will be that conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it's like, hey, you know, that's not quite maybe what I'm doing. And we can either ignore it, which we've been given free will to do that, right, to ignore it, or to maybe lean into that and say, you know, yeah, it'd be important for me to still be involved in this process. Involved in, you know, fellowship with God and seeking what, you know, his face in this document that was written by a robot that is, it has, you know, great biblical references. It's all accurate, but there still has to be like that living element that is the Holy Spirit, right? That can never be replaced. Ultimately, that's not a fear, right? Can never ChatGPT can never replace that faith, like element, that human element, and never will.
No. Yeah. That's very true. Because, like, for example, I could ask you to come up with an opening story for a sermon about a topic. And you could come up with three options that are really great. But I'm the one who's praying through, like, what is the thing that I'm really trying, that God needs to tell my people this week? And I'm going to be praying about that. And that thing that I may be looking for at the grocery store may happen. You know, I see this thing happen. Somebody steals something and runs out the door. And that's the Holy Spirit's work in me. And me having your stories doesn't take away from that. If anything, it just added to it. So that's one of those things where it just kind of adds to that story.
That totally makes sense. So just think of ChatGPT as a resource, as a reference that's making that information readily available. And you as the human are choosing whether or not to use those stories or deciding, filtering through, is this relevant? Is this not? Ultimately, you're still making that decision based on your, you know, fellowship and your one-on-one time with God and what he's doing in you and what he's revealing to you and your quiet time with him. Like, hey, I'm measuring that to what ChatGPT has, you know, provided me this list. Is it relevant? Is this, you know, does this resonate? You know, is this what God is wanting to share with my people this week or not? And at the end of the day, no matter how advanced ChatGPT or any of the other generative AI or large language models become, you can never like replace that element, that human element. So, I appreciate that. And so one of the challenges you also mentioned was even remembering to use AI.
Yeah. And that's one of those things that for pastors who, you know, are starting the process and saying like, where do I even, okay, cool, I have it. Now, when or how do I use it? And what I would say is when you open up your document where you begin, you sit down on Monday morning or Tuesday morning and you are beginning to write your sermon, you know, you open up your Google Doc or your Word Doc or whatever. Mm-hmm. I would say the next thing you open up is ChatGPT. And then what you start, so you're starting with a topic. I would suggest is have those two things open up together and then just start thinking out loud and asking questions about the topic and what you're thinking about. Just start brainstorming out loud. And ChatGPT is your perfect sermon brainstorm partner. That's how I would suggest, suggest using it. And that's going to help you remember to use it if it becomes the partner you bring up when you're opening up your document that you're writing in.
And David, is this one of the only tools of its kind out there right now that you know of? Are there other, you know, competitors that are, of course?
Yeah, there's a lot of AI sermon related platforms that are developing. It's one of those things of AI. We mentioned the analogy, we're kind of in the Wild West, and the things that AI can do, best comparison I could say is I would compare it to, for us, like texting, you know, where when I first got a phone, I didn't text. And I remember going into Verizon, they were like, hey, do you want the texting feature? I'm like, why would I do that? I had to pay 1 cent a text. I'm never going to use this ever. Why would I ever? I can just call somebody. Why would I text? And at this point today, if I call somebody, they're like really weirded out. They're like, why are you calling me? This could have been a text. Why are we talking on the phone? That's weird. And it's one of those things with AI is it is no question. There is no question that it will become the main way that we do things. So it's a matter of, jumping on board. And to the point of this, there are multiple companies who are chewing on this same question of how do we help pastors? We have some pretty amazing experts that are really smart coders that are working really hard to make sure that we are offering the absolute top of the line, best, most helpful AI solutions out there. So, but just saying, there are a new ones developing every day.
That kind of leads us into the last part of our time together here is what do you envision or how do you envision the future of AI and church sermons and faith-based landscape? But sort of like, what do you foresee happening? I mean, you just touched on one that had become like a personal assistant. It's an everyday thing. Just like we now use Google, we say Google it, right? It'll just become, I forgot what that's called when you say Google or you Xerox or Kleenex, it becomes that thing that you do, the adjective or the verb action of doing it. It sounds like that's what you're describing. Eventually it'll be like, you know, no big deal. It's something that we do every day. It makes us more efficient, productive. It's no longer this fear of robots taking over, but that natural progression of humanity. It's normal. Let's leverage it. You know, there's a lot of tools out there, including the internet, that can be used for evil, but it also can be used for good. And we want to do that with ChatGPT and all the AI tools out there.
Yeah. For the future, it's one of those things where there's so many things it can do that we don't even know to even ask the question. Like, for example, imagine if you ask Siri to write you a sermon on a topic, or, hey, I'm thinking about forgiveness. Hey, Siri, put in my notes about this topic. Or, hey, Siri, listen to what I'm about to say and write a note about it and go find me 5 stories from the internet about that topic. And then when you go back to your computer, you have notes on that topic. That's one thing is imagine when all of our listening devices can actually do things and speak back to us, and we can keep talking with them about that thing. But that's a very, very small thing. One of the biggest things of where the whole technology can go next is imagine what happens when your generative AI begins to learn your voice as a pastor and knows you and your inflections and gets to know you. And you could eventually even write a sermon and your AI could present it on your behalf, or you could have an AI present announcements on your behalf. Or if you preached a sermon and you said, okay, AI, here's my sermon from YouTube, do stuff with it. And that AI would take that sermon, translate it into 20 languages. It would create a blog post from it. It would create multiple social media post from it, small group series from that post, do all of these things automatically from uploading your YouTube video. And you could ask it to, you know, find the 10 snippets from your sermon that were the most interesting. You'll find the snippets, get them all ready to post on social media. That just kind of gives you a glimpse of stuff that can happen and is happening. It's just in its infancy. So that's where people are saying, oh, if I did this, oh, I could do that. Ooh, then if I did that to that. And they're putting the puzzle pieces together. So the stuff I mentioned is all possible now. It's just trying to put all of those puzzle pieces together.
Also, as far as upcoming AI tools or advancements that you're excited about in this context, we talked a little bit about developing some image stuff and pastors being able to come up with some images that go along with an announcement or their sermons. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I would say that, yeah, the image generation is another technology that is definitely in its infancy. There are a few free image generation platforms, but that would be the cool thing where if a pastor has in his mind that what he or she wants the sermon graphic, the sermon series graphic to be, you can put it in and it would just generate it. Or if you're mid sermon and you need an image that just shows a certain thing in a certain way, you could ask it and it would come up with that image. Right now, those image generation are definitely imperfect. Like, for example, asking it to write words in an image is a challenge. But that's where a graphic designer or communications director at a church could maybe come up with the image and then add the words around it later. So like I've been playing around like older man looking across a field watching sheep to get like this dramatic man that's just kind of like looking out of the closet. And there could be a sermon series about, you know, Moses or time with God alone or something. So I've been playing around with what are some images that are pretty classic that a pastor could use in his sermon? You know, like right now, some of the features, they give humans six fingers or make their smile really weird. It's imperfect. There are paid versions that can do it a little more powerfully, but that's just saying. Eventually, it's going to be very, very awesome. And eventually, meaning like weeks or a few months, not like years.
The speed at which the development is happening is, like you said, days, weeks, not years.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
It is.
The last question I have for you, David, is what is one or one of the only held beliefs in your industry that you passionately disagree with? So a belief about AI that you don't agree with, but it's something that's commonly held, or a fear.
Yeah. Probably just thinking about the fear that AI is anti-Christian. So there's a fear I think that pastors have that because it is this thing, it clearly must hate Christians and be terrible at answering anything related to Christianity. And that is categorically false. If you asked a ChatGPT to answer almost any general faith question, like how do you become a Christian? What are the benefits of attending church?
Mm-hmm.
How does what is the meaning of baptism? ChatGPT is actually really good at answering these kind of questions. People are like surprised. They're like, oh, wait, that actually is how you become a Christian. And so that's why I would say that it's important to combat against the fear, which is false, that this thing is anti-Christian for some reason.
I appreciate that. So if you ask ChatGPT how to be saved, it'll point you in the right direction, at least. It'll give you accurate biblical scriptures to become saved. So if you followed it step by step, weren't a Christian, you could, like within your heart. Of course, you have to believe that you're saved, but
yeah,
it could give you accurate step-by-step directions. That's awesome. So it's not biased in that way or anti-Christian.
I would say that I would add in the opposite. That does not mean that it is Christian. It just means that it has the ability to answer a question with the intent or the way in which a traditional evangelical Christian would answer that question. So it just saying it is pretty neutral. It is answering how it thinks a person like me or you would answer it, but that doesn't mean it is for or against Christians.
That makes sense. Well, it's been an awesome interview today, David. You have a wealth of information on AI, and it's great to see that intersection of faith and technology, which oftentimes is like seems to butt heads, like there isn't that connection, but there is. Any of the tools out there can be leveraged for good, for the spreading of the gospel. So this is really exciting, and we're at the forefront pioneering the efforts at missional marketing AI for churches. Is there anything you want to leave our audience with, a thought, a quote, a verse that
you'd like to end with? I said about all that needs to be said
for
now.
Awesome. Well, we thank you for listening to AI for Churches today and look forward to continue talking about all things AI and faith. Thanks for being a guest on the podcast, David.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Thank you for listening to the AI for Churches podcast, your one-stop shop for all things AI, ministry, and innovation. If you liked what you heard today, subscribe to the podcast and drop us a comment. Let us know what you found helpful. Also, visit us at ai.missionalmarketing.com for more resources to help you unlock the power of AI for your ministry.